Wellness should never have got this complicated. I do actually genuinely think that the world has gone mad. We have removed ourselves from the way that we connect to the earth. And the digestive system is that earth. Who knew? The Chinese knew. And this is why you need to listen to this podcast. If you're suffering from fatigue, stress, you're confused by all the wellness trends, and you're not really now sure what you're supposed to eat or what indeed you're supposed to do to make yourself feel better, then here's my book, Yang Sheng. This was an award-winning, best-selling book that actually made its way into 7 different languages when it was launched, and it is the perfect companion to this podcast. So if you're interested in buying a copy of this book, click on the link below and it will send you straight through to purchase. Hello and welcome to Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle. And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about your guts, your gut health, whether you're feeling fatigued, whether you've got extreme situations going on, whether you're bloating, whether you're trying to lose weight, whether you have got undiagnosed situations going on and you don't really know what the reason is. We are going to address that today. Now, according to Chinese medicine, your gut is not just responsible for your digestive system. It is also one of the integral parts of your overall health itself. And one of the reasons I am doing this episode today is because it comes up in clinic all the time. I rarely see a patient who has got optimum digestive systems. In fact, almost everybody has got compromised bowel movements. They have compromised energy flow. They're feeling sluggish. They're feeling bloated. And they're really wondering what it is they're supposed to do, even if many of them are already addressing it with dietary amends. I've had lots of people, as well as in my clinic, talk to me about it by email and via the Instagram feeds. And by the way, if anybody wants to talk to me about this open clinic, do please message in, because we gather the information and we kind of feed it back to you by seeing what people want to know. But in this particular instance, it was a mother who wrote in about her 29-year-old daughter who was diagnosed with colitis in February 2025. In the end, they had to go privately in order to get consistency of care because they kept being moved around from pillar to post. But in the meantime, alongside her consultant, she was looking to see all the other things that she could do to help reduce her chronic inflammation. And I just want to take that moment to say, which I do say pretty much every single episode, and it is written underneath as well, this is not a substitute for Western medical advice. Every single thing that we talk about here on Own Your Health is to be done in conjunction with your doctor or consultant. And where we sit with this information is that your doctor or consultant would say, I can't see that that would do any harm. That is where we sit. And if it's anything other than that response, then you must not do it. So what does poor gut health look like? Because let's address all of it today. Well, there are numerous different symptoms. We've got cravings, bloating, abdominal pain, gas, fatigue after eating, morning tiredness, heartburn, constipation, diarrhea, sluggish metabolisms, and weight fluctuations. All of this sits within low-level gut health management. We're not even at this stage talking about the greater inflammatory diseases like Crohn's or diverticulitis and et al. So what's going on and how can we help you in this podcast? Well, let's just go back to the roots of how I like to explain the angle of Chinese medicine. So remember, when we talk about owning your health, we always revert back to the 3 key principles as to what the body needs in order to be healthy. And if you're new to this podcast and new to this episode, then I refer you back to the very, very beginning of the overall podcast where I've broken these down into individual episodes and I've talked about them at length. Okay, but there are 3 things you need to know. One is that circulation, or a compromise of your circulation, ultimately sits at about the root of roughly 80% of all modern day situations with our health. So immediately we've got a compromise of circulation is something we need to address. The next thing with the body is the purge and the nourish. Okay, this is what goes out and what comes in. Now in modern life, this is massively compromised and the digestive system is a huge component of purge and nourish. Every day out with the old and every day in with the new. And if that isn't happening correctly, the body will start to get compromised and symptoms will start to appear. Now, the final thing in the Own Your Health explanation as to how your body works is something which people are slightly less familiar with, which is the management of the body by the five key organs. In Chinese medicine, all the organs that are represented by Western medicine have all of those functions, but we have extra ones as well. They're like sort of empires of management. And there's a sort of hierarchy, a bit like a chessboard, where some are slightly more important than others. And the five massive ones are the heart, the spleen, the lungs, the liver, and the kidney. And these five organs are responsible for basically the management of everything. Now, when it comes to the digestive system, the primary function is the spleen, but the liver gets involved as well. And eventually so does the lung, so does the kidney, and so does the heart. But we start the journey with the spleen. In Chinese medicine, the spleen is responsible for the transformation and transportation of food and fluids around the body, i.e. what comes in has to be converted, turns into energy, and then all of the waste products are removed by the end of the process. And that plays massively into the other two aspects of owning your health, which is the purge and the nourish and the circulation of the fluids around the body. All of this has to take place. But when it comes to the digestive system, the minute that digestion is compromised, then we are going to start looking at the low-level signs and symptoms that your body will start to tell you when it's not okay. And these are the things that crop up in my clinic pretty much every single day. If people aren't telling me face-to-face, they're writing in and asking me what to do. So let's just go through that first, and let's just talk about what is it that makes a healthy spleen. So a healthy spleen is basically your earth element. It connects itself to Mother Earth. And I think that's where the problem begins. Because in my humble opinion, I do actually genuinely think that the world has gone mad. I really do. One of the great tomes of Chinese medicine is a book which is basically attributed to the Yellow Emperor, and it was written centuries and centuries ago. And in that book, they think the world's gone mad because they talk about the olden days. Now, the olden days were sort of two or three centuries before they even wrote that book. And now we're several hundred years later. And really, if we just look back in history, we can see that one of the prices that we've paid for modernization is that we have removed ourselves from the way that we connect to the earth. And the digestive system is that earth, and it is that connection. And there are so many things as a result of that loss of connection, which will in turn start to compromise our digestive system and the happy functioning of the spleen organ. So for example, for a healthy spleen, the healthy spleen likes to have regularity. It wants to do the same thing at the same time every day. It basically moves in a circle. So it wants to eat at the same time. It wants to do the things at the same time. It wants to wake up first thing in the morning and have a walk. It doesn't necessarily want to have to wake up at the same time every day. It wants to wake up with the sunlight, and then it wants to move, and then it wants to eat, and then it wants to digest, and then it wants to assimilate that food for the energy that you need for the rest of the day. But we don't do that. Even the way that the working and the school structure is just normalized within our society, we are all expected to pretty much get up at the same time every single day, winter and summer. But actually, Chinese medicine teaches us that we should be actually getting up with the sunlight. So in the summertime, we should be raising at about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the height of summer. But in the winter, we should be getting up at about 8 o'clock. Massive difference. And yet everyone writes in and says they struggle with waking up in the wintertime, but we tend to find it a bit easier in the summer. Now, the next thing, because I talk about this a lot, is how deschedulized we are from that. That if we look at our working day, we tend to basically put our work in first and then put our lifestyle in second. Most people I know who are working all sorts of different hours, some people work shifts, some people work nights, no 2 days tend to be the same. It's not that we wake up with the sunlight and then we go and find some food and then we come back and then we eat the food and then we literally digest it for a while and then we go about our morning's activities and then we eat our lunch and then we digest and then we have an afternoon rest and then we go out again and do some more exercise and then we eat our dinner and then we digest and sit around the fire and then we go to bed. We don't do any of this. We basically keep on top of what it is that we have to keep on top of. We keep the plates spinning. And this immediately starts to derail and deregulate the spleen energy. So before we've even considered what it is that we're eating and how we are eating it, the reality is that the timings are off match and that our working day is not aligned to the natural cycle of the earth because we are not able or not allowed to align ourselves to it. So it's not practical for me to sit here and say, so let's all just not bother working anymore and let's all just get up with the sunlight and have later mornings in the wintertime. That's not going to happen. But what we need to do is, first of all, understand that this is the problem. And then we need to make allowances for ourselves that are possible so that we can start to support the basic function of our spleen. So the very first thing that I always tell people to do to start to improve your gut health is to simply write down in your diary when you're going to eat. It is the simplest thing in the world, and you will very quickly see whether your eating times are varying on a day-to-day basis. Also, try and write down in your diary when you are going to get up and when you're going to go to bed. It is really important. And then last, but by no means least, when are you moving your body? Now, I this morning am delivering this podcast, and I have fallen at that hurdle because I had a very busy evening yesterday. I had to go and visit my dad, and then I had to go to an event, and then I had dinner with some old friends. And as a result of overscheduling in my diary, all of which needed to be done, I ate late, and then I got home late, and then my daughter wanted to spend time with me, so we watched a little programme together, so I got to bed late. As a result, this morning, it all caught up with me, and I couldn't get up at my normal early time to go for a walk first thing in the morning. So now I'm starting to pay the price, because everything feels a little bit off whack inside my body, because I wasn't on my timetable, and it's already started to make an impact. So what happens when you go slightly off is all you do. It's a bit like Gina Ford. You just get yourself back on track. So what will happen is today, after I finish podcasting, I will make sure that I get my timing and my tempo back on track. I'm back in my early morning walk, back for an early night, and getting myself back on track. It is vital to keep that sort of metronome of connection to the ground and this kind of movement of the circle constantly happening at the same time, at the same place every day, to support and strengthen your spleen, which in turn will support and strengthen your gut health. And so far, we've not spent any money. One of the other headlines that I like to talk about is wellness should never have got this complicated. I have never witnessed in my life more supplementation, more books, more experts, more contradictory information, more tracking devices on us informing ourselves about our wellness. And yet most of this stuff costs money, which in turn starts to make us concerned because we're worrying about how much money we need to spend on all these things that we need to do in order to feel better. Now, if I just unbox that for a second. First of all the advice I give you is free. There's the occasional tool I like to talk about. There's the occasional book I suggest. But by and large, everything here on this podcast is free of charge. Now, that's important, okay, because it's simple. And it's just about thinking about things and things making sense. And then things in turn making you feel safe and reassured because it's time-tested advice. But the other issue about this crazy wellness sphere that we now exist in is that that in turn damages the spleen as well. Who would have thought that the very solution is something which is actually making the situation worse? Why is this? Because the spleen is not just there to digest your food. Your spleen is responsible for your intellect and the digestion and consumption of information. So if you are being bombarded with information which is often contradictory, that in turn weakens the spleen as well. Who knew? The Chinese knew. And this is why you need to listen to this podcast, because it's full of incredibly fascinating pieces and nuggets of information like that, which will unlock the secret conversation of your body, which is desperately trying to tell you that it's off balance. So careful who you listen to and careful what you're doing. Now, that in turn, not only is the overconsumption of all this wellness information damaging your spleen, which is one of the primary organs of your wellness, also what happens is it creates worry. Because there is so much contradictory information out there, and then we start worrying about what we should or shouldn't be doing and how much money we're spending on all of the things that we're doing, is that what then happens is that immediately hooks in to the low level frequency of the spleen, which is its low resonance, which is worry. And what happens when we start to worry is the energy starts moving around in a circle, but not this lovely earthy circle, which is just the metronome of life connected to a bigger organization of energy, which is the earth itself. This is worry, and worry knots the energy in Chinese medicine. And that in turn creates problems with your digestive system because it stops flowing smoothly. It knots, it agitates, and then you will start to feel the symptoms. Isn't that fascinating? Now, this is really important stuff because actually, if we're worrying about our health or we're over-consuming information about our health, we're actually having a detrimental effect on our gut health. Now, the way to offset all of that, again, another free technique I can offer you right now, and we haven't even started on what we're eating yet, folks. Okay, I haven't even started on that yet. Everyone's like, what are you going to say about my diet, Katie? That is the very last thing we're going to turn to. The next thing is that the highest vibrational healing tool that you have for your earth element is trust. Trust. And I think in the wellness industry, we're starting to lose our trust because we're starting to wonder what information we are supposed to trust because things keep contradicting themselves. I read only last week, not that this is particularly to do with the digestive system, but everyone now has come out of the craze of LED face masks. I mean, literally, they kind of blew up about 3 years ago. Pretty much every single person I know now has one. And now I've just read a report saying that they're not as good for you as we thought they were in the first place. So back round robin we go, and then we're spinning again. And then what worry starts to knot, and we've lost our trust again. As well as just the wellness space itself, we live in a world of overconsumption of news. So we're very much aware of all of the problems in the world. I'm sure we've always been very aware of the problems, but it is much more reported now than it ever was before. There are news feeds 24/7, and that in turn breaks the trust that we have in the people who are kind of managing the high finance, the governance, the governments, the general management of the world. And there is that sort of trust starts to break. So rather than the human being connected to that lovely kind of all-embracing earth energy, which is a bit like kind of hugging a tree, like, you know, times a gazillion, we're instead orbiting around sort of powerful leaders and a connection to the infrastructure that's been created sort of over the last few thousand years, which is what we are connected to. And that is crumbling, and that is not trustworthy. And that in turn makes our spleen wobble. Okay. And this is just the big picture stuff. Okay. As I said, we're not even onto the food yet. So you can start to see why gut health is such a huge, great issue, because nothing is stable. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to just start being mindful about that. So first of all, know it, because knowledge is power. I've now given you truth. Okay, now the truth will set you free. The truth has a ring of truth about it. It is an energetic frequency that chimes and rings inside you. So already your spleen will align to that and go, she's right. I hadn't thought of it like that. Actually, that's really interesting. Okay, I get it. So the first thing I need to do is align myself to the earth energy. Okay, well, that's easily done. Now, the good news is the Chinese have worked this all out centuries and centuries ago. In fact, millennia ago. And the earth has 24 seasonal nodes. They are all written in my book, which I would recommend that you buy. But if that sounds a little too complicated, the seasons will do. And I've already given you the explanation, which is try and get up with the sun and go to bed with the dark and make sure that you schedule your eating. That will do the trick, okay? And then be careful who you trust and be careful who you listen to, and the rest we can take from there. So I've set out my stall of basically the world's gone mad. But don't worry, because I can't really do anything about that. But I can do stuff about your gut health. And knowledge is power. So now that you've understood the big picture is a little bit off axis, we can then start to drill a little bit deeper into more reasons why your gut health might not be as optimum as it should be, even though you think you're eating the right foods in the right way, and yet still there's an issue. The next thing is, let's just talk about stress for a minute, okay? Because stress has a major issue on your spleen. Now, the reason why is that, again, if I just revert back to the Own Your Health, kind of the three things you need to know, the circulation, purge and nourish, strengthen the five key organs. Okay, always remember that. And do please revert to those early episodes where I kind of go on about that more. But stress plays havoc with all of them. And by the way, we live in a ridiculously stressful world. I mean, there is not a single person who ever comes into my clinic who just goes, oh, I'm great. Like, I'm really relaxed. I've got nothing to do. I'm bored. The reality is that the general kind of information that's fed to us about burnout, modern living, and all the rest of it is that pretty much everyone is stressed. I don't really see many exemptions to that. And stress hits every single one of those three key measures that you need to be aware of. When we get stressed, the first thing that happens is, in the stress response, the body diverts circulation away from the digestive system and into the muscles for fight or flight. Right. Let's just sit with that one for a second. So let's just assume that you are eating the most perfect macrobiotic diet in the entire history of the universe and you never do anything wrong. Okay, let's just work with that first. If you're stressed, then simply the absorption of that food is not going to happen because the blood has been diverted into your muscles. Now, curious fun fact here, folks, is that the spleen is also responsible for the muscles. in Chinese medicine. Who knew? The thing in the West is that the spleen doesn't really get much of a look in at all. I have now completed GCSE biology with my three children in three different syllabuses, and not one of them ever discussed the spleen. Not one. It's a really important organ, folks. It really, really is. And in Chinese medicine, it is also responsible for the muscles. So the transformation and the transportation of food and fluid around the body, i.e. it moves it around and transforms it from food into energy. Okay. And it's moving it into the digestive system and then into the muscles it goes, and the spleen's responsible, and it doesn't like it. Meanwhile, your poor old spleen is worried sick and it doesn't know who to trust. It's spinning around like a crazy thing. And of course it's going mad. It doesn't know what it's doing. Okay, so the reality is that in the olden days, I'm not saying the olden days were good. Women's rights, for a start, were a lot to be desired. So, you know, I'm not saying we should all go back to the 16th century, but we do need to go backwards and go, they did get some stuff right, okay, and they were not as stressed as we are, okay, perhaps stressed in a different way. But the reality is that they weren't sitting on screens and at laptops and at desks endlessly whilst the blood is being diverted out of the digestive system and into the muscles. And you're not then fighting or flighting. You're sitting still. So what happens? Well, all the blood's then stuck in the muscles because you're not moving the body. So then suddenly, let's say you've just had your lunch at your desk and you've been looking at a load of aggressive emails or problems, which is largely at work. We are fixing problems and dealing with things that need to be resolved. And we're thinking. So therefore, the blood is first of all in the muscles dealing with stress. And secondly, it's sitting in the thought processes, which the spleen is also responsible for. So your spleen is going, right. So I've just had a cheese sandwich because I'm in England, and I've had a sweet matcha because I've just had one this morning because I got one and I forgot to say no syrup, please. So they put the syrup in because they assume you want the syrup rather than you don't. As I said, the world's gone mad. Too much sweet, too much sugar. So the reality is that your spleen is sitting there going, I literally don't know whether I'm coming or going. What am I supposed to do? I've got all the blood I need to digest this food is in the muscles. This brain is thinking, which is what I'm in charge of. So I've got to think about that. And I'm supposed to be digesting this food. And then we wonder why we get bloated. So that's the stress response just at the basic level. Okay, but the stress response also has more things to do with the body than just diverting the blood. Okay, what the stress response does is it creates a whole fluctuation of chemicals and hormones and movement of the digestive fluids inside the body, which just go on and on and on. It's just completely disruptive. And we're not actually addressing the stress response with what it actually needs. What it needs is fight or flight, i.e. movement. So really what we should be doing to rectify this is, when we are eating, to please not consume information at the same time. The best thing to do is look at a view, because actually that then calms everything down, preferably nature. So in an ideal world, you'd want to go and sit in a park and eat your lunch. How nice does that sound? Now, if you're sitting there going, yeah, right, Katie, that's totally out of touch. I haven't got time. And I was in the city yesterday, actually, funnily enough, seeing Mr. Brindle, and there's not a tree in sight. So I was like, well, that's a great, great advice, Katie. Tell everyone to go and eat in a park. There isn't a park. Okay, it's okay. What the Chinese masters say to do is look at a picture of nature. Okay, we can all do that because every single person who's either watching or listening to this podcast has a device, because otherwise you wouldn't be engaging with this content. Another really important thing to do is, in this ideal utopia that I've described, where you leave your desk, walk to the park, sit down, eat your lunch, walk back, which sounds ridiculous that I'm having to justify the fact that that doesn't seem to be possible for most people. We've got to recreate that. It's a really useful thing to go for a walk before you eat your food. Because in the old days, man would have hunted the food and created it and cooked it. Okay, we tend to be going to places or to the kitchen or to Pret or whatever it is that we're doing in order to get our food. So go for a walk and shake the body and tap the digestive system. Just tap gently in a circle. This is before you're eating. Ideally, tap up the inside of the leg, which is the spleen channel. Okay, just do that if you can. If you feel a bit weird because you're in an office, go to the loo. I don't particularly like telling people to do exercises in the toilet. It's a bit gross. But if you're feeling really self-conscious, I have no option to tell you something. And at least the loo is a private place, or maybe do it by the sinks. But in an ideal world, you're going to do this outside by a tree. OK, what you're doing there is just shaking off the stress response that you've been dealing with all morning, getting the circulation back into the digestive system, going up the channel so it's going into the organ, finishing all of that at the sides, which is at the waist, which is a really important spleen point. And then you're ready to eat. OK, and then what you want to do is, after you've finished eating in a relaxed fashion, you simply walk back to where you were, because one of the big isms in Chinese medicine is 100 steps after eating equals 100 years of life. Even my children sit there saying that to me over and over again, because it's a really important thing to know that just walking off your food, even if it's just 100 steps, will make a massive difference to the spleen's absorption and the transformation of that food into the body. And this is why we can really easily counterbalance the stress response. And again, we're not spending any money. We're just looking at some very simple lifestyle tweaks, which were the things that we used to do anyway. It's just since the world's gone mad, we've stopped doing it. And we just need to be reminded that it makes complete sense. And we are indeed humans, not AI bots. And therefore, we need to look after ourselves and just have some simple truths pointed out. There's one other thing I want to say about the stress response before we move on to some other information. And this is another really important thing you need to know. And unless you've been listening to my podcasts, which I hope you have been, but let's say you haven't, unless you've been listening to my podcast, I guarantee you won't know this fact. Okay, so ready? Are we listening? Yes. Okay. In Chinese medicine, the peristalsis of the gut, which is the squeezing and the absorption, okay, of the nutrients through the small intestine and the large intestine, is controlled by the movement of the diaphragm. Who knew that? I mean, this is just like the most amazing piece of information when I learned this. There's been moments in my career where I've learned things all the way through, and you just sit there and you get a bit mind blown. Another one was the liver houses the blueprint of your soul. I mean, who knew? I mean, it's just so beautiful when you learn this stuff. What does that mean? And why has that got to do with stress? And what's that got to do with my bloating and my digestive issues? Well, when we get stressed, it also affects not only the blood flow, but it affects the breath. What happens is breath becomes shorter and quicker because we get stressed. Okay, you only need to think about the last time you were stressed, and you will notice that this sort of agitation starts to take place. So what then happens is, instead of taking nice, deep, diaphragmatic breaths, which in turn bring lovely, slow energy into the body, and it calms the heart rate, and it brings you into that lovely, relaxed yet energized feeling, that is also controlling the peristalsis of the gut as well. And people don't realise that. So if we're sitting there at our desks, having just eaten our food, and already the blood flow's gone mad and the spleen's spinning around, then what's happening is our breathing isn't correct. And so our peristalsis isn't correct either, which is thus exacerbating the problem. So this stress response really does play havoc with your digestive system. Me saying to you, try not to get stressed, is not helpful in the slightest. So I'm going to give you the world's easiest exercise to counterbalance this. All you have to do, and the regular listeners are going to roll their eyes because they know what's coming next, is you need to download an app. There's several of them. I personally use Mindfulness Bell, and no, they don't pay me to say that. It's a free app. If you want to pay for the bell sound of choice, you can pay £2, but otherwise it's free. And all it does is it just chimes into your phone every 15 minutes, half an hour or hour, however often. And it's a reminder to simply ask you to do the following breath with me now. Breathe slowly in. Linger at the top of the breath, breathe slowly out, linger at the bottom of the breath. That's it. Just do three of those. Breathe in, linger, breathe out, linger. You should be feeling better already. One more. Breathe in, linger, breathe out, linger. Okay. Everything just feels calmer. And what you've just done is you've just expanded and contracted your diaphragm, and you've just got the peristalsis back on track. And it's a beautifully simple antidote to the ongoing stress response and that rushed energy that we always have. So that's a really good footnote on stress. Now, let's just talk about some other really simple reasons as to why the spleen is unhappy, okay? Yo-yo dieting, very, very common, because we're kind of constantly doing what's right, doing what's wrong, being good, being bad, one thing, the other thing. It's basically sense spending havoc with the spleen. What is the counterbalance to this? Simple, ancient, tried, tested advice on billions of people for thousands of years. That is the advice I will always go to because I trust it and therefore strengthen my spleen. What should we do? Eat seasonally. Eat locally. Chew your food. Rest after eating, even if it's just 5 minutes after you've just had a sandwich. Just sit still for 5 minutes. Just because you've finished chewing your food and you've swallowed the last mouthful, that's just the beginning of the process. Okay, after that, there's hours of assimilation that takes place, at least give yourself 5 minutes before you rush off. Do not eat standing up. The spleen is also responsible for something called upright qi, about keeping everything up rather than sagging down. So therefore, if we're standing when eating, you're straining the spleen rather than giving it all its attention on absorbing the food. These are just some simple tried-tested advice. It's all free. It requires nothing other than a simple tweak of lifestyle. And last, but absolutely by no means least, and probably should be first, is no ice in drinks. And I sit here saying this until I am blue in the face. And yet, it's everywhere. I'm broadcasting this in the summertime, and literally, I have to say room temperature for every single drink I'm offered. There is very rarely do I get water brought to a table if I'm out that is not freezing cold. Okay, it is always freezing cold because that is what everyone expects. And yet it is so damaging for the spleen. It brings in all of the root cause of all of the gut health situations. It creates dampness, it creates bloating, it starts to knot and freeze up the qi of the spleen, and everything starts to become compromised right there. And given that we drink quite a lot of fluids in the summer, that is an absolute no-no. All these iced matcha lattes that I'm seeing everywhere, I'm like, oh my God. And when I go and order mine, by the way, when I have a hot matcha latte, and they just look at me like I'm absolutely mad. They literally, and then they go, oh, thank God, because we've run out of ice. That's what they've been saying recently. Okay, so we've really now gone into depth about why we think that we've got gut health compromises. Now, there are further fact sheets and podcasts about Crohn's and diverticulitis, and we've gone into all sorts of detail about sort of the more of the chronic degenerative disease situation further down the line. The idea of this podcast was really just to talk about the beginning of the journey, okay? The beginning as to why I've got gut health issues. It is really important also to ensure that you are eating the right foods. Now, the right foods then takes us into a myriad of information. But at that point, I would like to point you to some other podcasts and some really wonderful food authors that I've interviewed, where I've talked to some experts about really what those right foods are. But the basic summary in Chinese medicine is seasonal and local, and also to try and avoid the four whites as much as possible. And the four whites are flour, sugar, salt, and dairy. Okay, those are the four whites that we need to make sure that we are keeping at a minimum, and trying to keep all of your food groups above room temperature or above. There are a couple of really brilliant things that we use a lot of in Chinese medicine, which is fantastic for supporting gut health. One of which is ginger, which is absolutely brilliant for the spleen. Another one is lots and lots of herbs and spices. The spleen loves variation. So when I see people on diets and I look at these diets and it's just like, it strips everything out. It's like lean chicken breast for dinner and it's just nothing. At the absolute very least, use pepper. Okay, and just try and use all sorts of interesting herbs and spices in your cooking, because the spleen is a bit like a garden and it's an ecosystem and it wants lots and lots of micronutrients and variation as much as possible. Aside from that, let me just talk about some of the really simple basic things that we need to be doing in summary for our gut health. I'm going to divide it into three levels: beginners, intermediate, and advanced. Okay, so we can keep it nice and simple. Okay, so beginners, let's get started. You need to focus on regular meals, seasonal foods, calm eating, proper chewing. Those are the first things that you need to do, okay? Then we need to create good digestive habits. We want to eat sitting down, not to be distracted, maintain mealtime consistency, and we want to support warmth in digestion. So that means no ice and using foods like ginger and pepper and things like that, okay? So that is your basic level entry point. Do that first. All of that is easily done, okay? You just need to be a little bit mindful of it. Do it for a week, pay attention to it, and you'll notice that you'll start to feel better straight away. As soon as you've done that, straight off to the intermediate level we can go. Now, at this point, we want to just add a little bit of getting the blood flow moving correctly. So I talked to you earlier in the episode about drumming the waist, drumming the sides, which is a really important spleen point here, and drumming up the inside of the leg. If you wish to add to that, we can do full all-over body tapping as part of your self-care routine. That is 5 minutes of energized tapping in the morning and 5 minutes of calm body tapping in the evening. To do that, all I recommend is that you just have a... I've got Spotify playlist. I invite you to come and listen to my Spotify. I've got loads of good tracks over there, if I do say so myself. Have a nice upbeat piece of music in the morning and a nice calm piece of music in the evening. Body tapping is a very good right way to get the stress response that's paid havoc with your blood flow back into the right place and flowing smoothly, which in turn supports the spleen. As well as body tapping at the intermediate level, we want to ensure that we're doing gua sha. Now, gua sha hit, like everybody knew about gua sha after I introduced it about 10 years ago, very much for beauty. But the body gua sha craze hasn't quite caught on. So for body gua sha, I talk about the Body Sculptor. It is a big tool. It's made of Bian Stone and it is absolutely brilliant for supporting the spleen. It gets the blood flow right back where it's supposed to be, but also it works on the lymphatic fluids as well. And believe it or not, the spleen is responsible for the lymph system as well. So by basically doing good old body gua sha using oil in the evening before bed, just a couple of minutes, full body massage, you're going to feel amazing. And it's going to really, really strengthen the spleen before it goes to sleep at night. Okay, so it's a really, really useful technique. And again, James will put the links at the end of this to show you where the tools are and all the instructions as to how to do it. It will make you feel great. Delivering this content in the summer, it's also fantastic for sculpting the body, which is why it's called a sculptor, and getting it all lean and ready for sort of flesh exposure as the sun comes back out again. One last thing to say on the intermediate level is journaling. One of the things that I said at the beginning of the podcast was that we worry, and worry weakens the spleen because it knots the energy, and we've kind of lost who to trust. One of the last things that we should be doing before bed at night is the kind of the whole doom scrolling thing and just kind of like, overconsumption of information, start to think about things, which is damaging for the spleen because you're overthinking, and then we start to worry about stuff. So actually putting your phone down from 9 o'clock onwards and switching it right off so there's no EMFs like blaring into you at bedtime, get your journal out and start writing things down instead. There's lots of information on journaling to help you with your journal prompts so that we can get you journaling instead of scrolling. It is a much more beneficial exercise for your spleen. And then the advanced level. Now, once we've got to this point and we've got our eating habits under control, and we are managing our lifestyle correctly, then there's some more advanced things that we can be doing. At this stage now, I would be looking to be doing Qigong practices every day. So there's lots of Qigong videos which I've done. They only take a few minutes all the way through to an hour, depending how long you've got. But there are some really simple Qigong moves. And I put them, there's like five big ones, which I put into a little compilation video. And you can just follow it along. It takes about 10 minutes. If you did that morning and evening, it will be massively important to your spleen, all the way through to another circuit, which I always refer people to, which is John Munro, who is the most amazing Qigong teacher. And he teaches for free on YouTube the 12 rivers. And two of those rivers belong to the spleen. Well, one to the spleen and one to the stomach. And then he sets it into a unit of all of the 12 organs of the body. That will immediately rectify the circulatory situation, the purge and nourish and strengthening, not just the five key organs, but all 12. Okay. It's a very simple practice. And once you've learned it, it takes 12 minutes a day and will make a massive difference to how you feel. And last, but by no means least, meditation. Now, I love meditation. There are loads of meditations on this podcast. And what I'm going to do is when I finish recording this, we will do a separate spleen digestive meditation. And you can jump over there and I'll do it for 10 minutes to give you a spleen enforcing meditation for the advanced people. And with that, I hope that I've given you some really useful advice as to how to improve your gut health. There is more information on my whole spleen fact sheet and my spleen podcast, which will give you more information about what you can do to support this really vital and underestimated organ. And if you have any questions at all, please message in, and I look forward to broadcasting to you next time.